Hey, I'm Casual Jake.
And I'm Taito.
And this is the MTG Educators Network podcast. Now, today, we have a very interesting topic that we kind of hinted at in a previous episode, and that's going to be a discussion that I know Taito is very, very passionate about, and I really can't wait to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah, thank you. We've kind of hinted at this on the last two episodes now. I think especially in the year in preview episode, we talked about it. I got on a, because I had just recently, it had really come to the front for me because of a certain card that was spoiled, which we'll get to in a little bit. But this is a conversation I think that needs to be had. And I don't know that it will be, I don't see other people saying this, and I feel like it's something that is happening in the format of Commander, which of course we've talked about before is Jake and I's favorite format, and it's the one that we probably play the most at this point. Although you probably in the pandemic, you probably play like Arena Standard and Limited a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
But Commander is definitely the format that I play the most, and it's an important conversation I think needs to be had because it is about probably one of the best parts of our format that I think is being misused, I should say. And
are you talking about Magic players abusing a mechanic or something? What? Never heard of. They're breaking the format.
Absolutely unheard of. And if you've looked at the title of this episode, you'll maybe know what I'm talking about. And this is Rule Zero. It's probably the most unique aspect of Commander since other formats have Singleton, right? You have Canadian Highlander, Brawl, which is very similar to Commander. Others have like a general, like I said, Brawl, you know, tiny leaders, and there are also some other multiplayer formats as well. And, you know, Kitchen Table is, it was at one point one of the most popular formats, if not the most popular format. The format is in air quotes. But a lot of people would play that with more than two players.
Sure.
But Rule Zero is something that really kind of only applies to Commander. And before we get into the real nitty gritty of what I think the issue may be with Rule Zero or how it is being used, I want Jake to actually read the best way that we can define Rule Zero and kind of talk about that for us before we get started.
Sure. Because Commander is very much a community-driven format, there aren't entirely set in stone rules besides the obvious ones like 40 life, not only being two players, though I have seen 1v1 Commander,
right.
And there are, I think like Edgar Markov is banned in 1v1 Commander.
Yeah, that's like on, that its own thing. I think that's MTGO has its own 1v1 Commander ban list.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's, it's weird. That might be officially on the EDH website and like on Gather.
It's on Scryfall.
Stuff. Is it on Scryfall? Okay. I wasn't sure if that was an all thing or if it was just MTGO. So continue.
Yeah. So that is there. I just want to point that out. But of course, we still, again, we have commander damage and commanders have to be legendary, all that kind of stuff. Legendary creatures. So far. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So what we have instead is called the format philosophy. And so we all know that we have some good links here. And one of the links that you provided here was the mtgcommander.net, the philosophy of Commander, which I haven't got to read just yet. Again, you're kind of guiding this discussion, so we'll get a little bit more into that. And this really defines the goal of every Commander game. And it says the criteria for the card or rule, it has to meet in order to be banned or changed, really. It's kind of defining what that card needs to do for us to say, you know what, this is a problem. And so the section regarding that, what we call Rule Zero, reads as the follows. Commander is designed to be a malleable format. We encourage groups to use the rules and the ban list as a baseline to optimize their own experience. This is not license for an individual to force their vision onto a playgroup, but encouragement for players to discuss their goals and how the rules might be adjusted to suit those goals.
Right. So even if you've never heard of Rule Zero be referred to as Rule Zero before, you've probably experienced a byproduct of Rule Zero in some way, shape, or form. The biggest one that most people will have experienced is you sit down at a table and they go, hey, I'm playing this deck. What deck are you playing? Like, let's make sure we're on the same power level, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most common side effect of Rule Zero is that discussion before a game. I know in our last episode, we talked about, you know, talking about infinite combos before a game, making sure that all players are okay with something like that. The way that you might see Rule Zero used the most outside of that is asking, hey, can this be my commander? Or, hey, can I play this card? Like I play, Sword of Dungeons and Dragons in my, party deck. because it's like a D&D mechanic. So I kind of wanted to play it. Sure. And it's not a great card, but I still
Certainly not legal because it is a silver bordered card.
Right, which is something that we're going to get into in a little bit. So we're going to continue to call this section of the philosophy document Rule Zero because that's what it used to be called. Or that was the unofficial name for it. And it's something that takes effect as soon as you sit at a table. Like, yes, Sword of Dungeons and Dragons is not technically legal in Commander, right? It's just not. It is an illegal card. But I can sit down at a Commander table and say, can I play this card? And if the table says yes, it is now a legal card. That's how Rule Zero kind of works. For that game, I should specifically say as well. They could then rescind that next game. I don't know why they would, but you could.
Right, right, right. Or in another pot,
right,
they might.
Yes,
you know. Very so again, that's another thing to remember about Rule Zero is it's an ongoing discussion. It occurs every time you sit down with a group of people to play, and sometimes in between games, you know, when you're pulling out new decks and new cards, and it's an ongoing, at least the way I view it, is it's an ongoing conversation as the night progresses or the day progresses, to make sure that everyone's on the same page and having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Because the thing about Commander is it's a community-driven format. Right now, we're sanctioned by Wizards now, which is cool. It's really good, honestly, and we're getting a lot of Commander
support.
A lot of support. Some people say too much support. I disagree with those people. I think they are crazy people.
Ooh, we disagree on something.
Ooh, there's another episode, I guess.
There you go.
Community-driven, and it's a social format, right? The way I explain Commander to people is I just say it's like poker night. You sit down, get some snacks, get some drinks, chill with some friends, and you have a good time, right? Sometimes you sling some spells. Sometimes you only play one game over 6 hours because you're just talking about nonsense and you're watching South Park on the TV. Like you don't know what's going on. So that's how I explain Commander, at least. And I'm sure you are similar.
Yeah, when I first got into Commander, it was literally to spend time with my best friend. They had just started getting into they were getting back into Magic, and they wanted to get me in. And the 60-card formats, like, we played a little bit, and it was fun, but I started having a blast when we built our first Commander decks, and we built really janky ones. You know, I think my first Commander deck was a Tajik, the original one, not the new one,
the one
has like battalion, the one that is indestructible. I thought that was OP. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna win every game with this. And then I got my butt handed to me every game because Boros was very well, you know, it's let's just say it's tricky to build around a Boros deck. It's not impossible, but I definitely, with my minimal deck building skills, was not there. But it was fun, because I would sit around with my friends who did play Magic, and they would say, hey, I see what you're trying to do, Jake. Try this card. And they would give me cards a lot of times. You know, again, there's a lot of Boros cards that weren't very valuable, so they didn't mind just handing them to me. But, you know, it was, again, it was, we were having, you know, the game on in the background, and we were slinging spells. We were, you know, just getting together. A lot of guys in my fraternity played, and so that's what we would do as kind of, you know, our quote-unquote brotherhood nights is, you know, we'd get a six-pack and six-pack each, and we would play, you know, Commander and just have a good time. So, again, those conversations always would happen. Hey, I'm playing this. And a lot of times early on for me, it was, hey, I'm playing a deck that I know, or at least I've been told, is not very good. So can we make sure that we play decks that I can feel comfortable, you know, in the game with? And a lot of times my friends would accommodate that.
Yeah, if someone comes through and says, hey, this is my buddy, or they're like new to the game and their deck isn't very great, like, I'm not going to sit down and take out Yuriko or my Marchesa Pillow Fort kind of hate berry deck. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take out something that's fun, like Aisha Ayasha. I want to put a lot of forests on in the battlefield. Like, I'm just going to put out some like a fun deck that'll be cool, and like maybe they'll see it and go, wow, that's so cool that you can do that with the deck. So it's definitely, that's one of the good things about Rule Zero. But the purpose of this podcast specifically is to discuss both the good and the bad of Rule Zero, with a focus on one specific bad misuse of Rule Zero. That is, like, it's my own personal, like, I don't know what the word, crusade, I guess you could call it. Like, I really want to stop this specific misuse of it, and we'll talk about that. And before I go any further, I don't want to come off as being ungrateful to the people that are in charge of these decisions or disrespectful. I have absolutely nothing but respect and admiration for the members of the Commander Rules Committee and the Commander Advisory Group. These are not paid positions. This is a lot of time that they spend to make our format as good as they think it can be. And just because I disagree with them does not mean that they are doing anything wrong. I just think that this is a specific place in which maybe they could improve. And if by some miracle, one of them hears this, maybe they'll take this kind of logic to heart and maybe they'll think about it, even if it's to consider some of these issues. I think that'd be really cool. They are always working out of what they believe is best for the format. It's just sometimes people are going to disagree on it. There's probably a person out there that thinks that, you know, any legendary card should be a commander. I'm not going to be that person. I'm not that person, but there's probably someone out there that thinks that that's true.
Sure.
And that's okay. They're allowed to think that as long as we're being respectful to each other. I want to get that disclaimer out of the way before I say anything else. I wanted to make sure I put that out there.
I agree. Nothing but love for those two committees, those two groups right there. You know, there's probably people. That's the other thing. Is there a conglomerate of a lot of different viewpoints, a lot of different people? And some of them might already share views with me and Taito right now. Some of them might share the views that you have on a lot of issues, but it's not about what that one person thinks. That's why there's multiple people in that group. It's the voice of lots of those perspectives. So I think it's important to remember that as well, that, you know, sometimes they come out with bannings or rules changes and people feel like, oh, well, my voice wasn't heard because it wasn't the way that I wanted it to go. And those voices probably were heard. More than likely, they probably heard every single argument for every single decision, and they're making the best decision that they feel, and no hate on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What an impossible position to take probably the most beloved format and shape how it's played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a burden to carry. And I think they do, for the most part, they do a fantastic job.
Yes.
With it. Even like you said, we might have disagreements, or I might wish that they would change things here and there, but I also, again, I understand that I'm one person who plays Commander, and we need to make sure that this format is sustainable for a majority of people.
Yeah, I think, and I'll also preface this, I think of all of the decisions, the bannings, the unbannings that have happened since I've been following Commander, which is like, I don't know, 2015, 2016 maybe, I think I've disagreed with maybe two of them. And like one of them not super passionately. Like, I don't like Protean Hulk. I think that card leads to absolute degeneracy, and I would like to never see it again. I think it was better when it was banned. I think the format was better when it was banned. So that one, yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that decision. I think
it's... Well, if we're voicing stuff, bring back Lutri, man. They murdered my boy. I love that little otter boy. That of course, being more of a meme, and we'll get into, we're going to get into a point where we talk about Rule Zero and stuff like that.
I think no one would have cared about Lutri if it wasn't an otter. I'm just putting that out there. I love otters, don't get me wrong, but I guarantee you if Lutri was some ugly little weird or something like that,
you're 100% right. I would have been like, oh man, ban this immediately. What? Yeah,
exactly. So that's like the only decision. Protean Hulk's the only decision I've like actively disagreed with. I don't get the Iona ban. I still don't understand it. It's weird. There's worse cards that should have been banned if they were going to be, I don't know. Iona, I don't get, but I don't really care. It doesn't matter. It's not harming my fun like Protean Hulk does.
Sure. Well, is this a ban conversation or is this Rule Zero conversation?
I wanted to put that disclaimer out there. I agree with the CAG and the CRC 95% of the time.
Much respect.
For the actions that they've taken, at least. And as teachers, we know, right, the best thing to do when you're offering criticism is to have a focus on the end, or at the end, on the positives. So we're gonna get to the positives, and that's how we're gonna, you know, cap off the episode. But I do want to talk about specifically the issue that I have with the use and the utilization of Rule Zero first. So I want to make sure that that's what we kind of talk about first, and then we'll end with some good stuff, because we always want to have that positive end focus. And my biggest issue to kind of preface it and put the title out for this section is I'm worried about how often Rule Zero is being used as a crutch. I love Rule Zero. I think it's a fantastic rule, but I think that Rule Zero is really used as a crutch when important decisions need to be made about our format. So that's what we're going to talk about first, and then we'll talk about why we actually really, really, really do love all the good things about Rule Zero.
Yeah, of course. I see, you know, a lot of common topics just kind of brushing to the side. I see what you mean by that crutch, you know. We can just Rule Zero it. Or, you know, it's almost like a go-to. Like, you see something and they're like, let's say the Lutri thing. When Loot Tree was banned, one of the first things I said was, like, I talked to my playgroup. I was like, hey, if I played Loot Tree, would y'all be upset? And they were like, no, it's whatever, you know, rule zero it, bro. And while it is harmless and whatnot, the fact that was the first thing that I went to, like you said, it proves that it's kind of just our easy fallback when we don't necessarily agree or if things don't go our way with the way that the game is structured.
Yeah. So I think, and I just said this again to reiterate, I think the biggest problem is that rule zero is being used as a crutch. And though as much as I'd love to spend the whole episode giving reasons as to why the different examples we talk about, I think they should be legal or shouldn't be legal. That's not the purpose of this episode. I'm not trying to say ban Protean Hulk. I'm not trying to say unban Iona. That's not the purpose of this episode.
It's a philosophical conversation.
And I'll even say
the idea of what rule zero is.
Right. And I'll even say when we get to it, I'm okay if the decision they make goes against what I personally believe would be best for Commander if I'm given a reason for it. I've felt that I have not been given a good enough reason for some of these arguments from these people that are in charge. So instead of giving examples, I'd like to paint you a picture, Jake.
All right. Well, go ahead, Picasso.
All right. So I'm going to flash back to about, I don't know, a month ago, right? In January, Kaldheim is being spoiled. And a fantastic card that our fantastic editor, Sean, aka Busted Sleeves, will put on the screen has been spoiled. Finn the Fangbearer, okay? And I'll read him for you. Very cool, very cool, very cool
card.
Sound
effect.
Yeah, right? Big ol' axe, big ol' beard, big ol' shield. Finn the Fangbearer costs one and a green. He's a legendary creature, so he could be a commander, but he's only green. He's a human warrior with death touch. And he's a 1/3. But this is the important part on his text. Whenever a creature you control with death touch deals combat damage to a player, that player gets 2 poison counters. It's a pretty cool card, right? Very unique card. Something that we've never seen before, but it's only one color. We all know multiple colors in Commander is better, right?
Of course. Yeah, the more the merrier.
The more the merrier. So you go, oh, this would be really cool to brew like a Death Touch tribal deck. I can try to win with Infect, but without any cards that say Infect or, you know, something like that. Do some poison counter stuff. This would be a really cool deck. So you go, okay, let me think. What could I do for a commander that might be a little different? Oh, you know who's really good in Death Touch Tribal? Cue the next card. Vraska Swarm's Eminence. Okay, we're going to go to War of the Spark for this card. An uncommon planeswalker. Love this card. Love the Japanese art from the packs over...
oh my goodness, yeah.
So beautiful, right? So Vraska, the most important part, she creates a 1/1 black assassin creature token with Death Touch that also has like planeswalker Death Touch, which is really cool. But the most important part is whenever a creature you control with Death Touch deals damage to a player or planeswalker, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature. Really interesting. Has a Lord effect.
Sounds
for,
perfect.
Yeah, literally it gets you 2 colors. So not too many that we're looking to break this or anything like that, but it gets you the 2 colors that Death Touch is most common in, green and black. Those are Death Touch's primary colors, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to buy some good cards. You know your playgroup is chill. So they're going to be okay with you playing Vraska Swarm's Eminence. You spend your own money, you make this deck, you play with your friends, and you love how it plays. It runs so well, it's not too strong, but you get some really cool plays. Really good story so far, right? We're having fun.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Taito's story time just needs to become a new section. I'm snuggled in, ready to hear the rest.
I know, it's so cold out. It is nice. You got to get your blanket and your hot
cocoa. Yeah,
exactly,
my little blankie.
So you're going to build this deck, play it for a while, have some good time, all throughout the pandemic, right? Eventually it ends. Play it over webcam. Grand old time. Becomes one of your pet decks, probably your favorite deck. You and your friends decide, you know what? We love Commander. It's such a fun format. We want to play with more people, but our LGS doesn't have a big crew. So we're going to go to a Command Fest. Now, Jake, have you been to a Command Fest?
I have been to one. It was a month before the pandemic started, and it was so much fun. Even though it was one of the smaller ones, I went to Magic Fest Austin last year.
Okay.
And it was incredible. Yep. But even for being a quote-unquote smaller Command Fest, it was one of my favorite experiences. So many different decks, so many different people, and just so much magic. Literal and physical magic happening.
Yeah, I went to Command Fest Richmond, which I think was the October before the pandemic. It was so much fun. And like I've been to events, like I used to play Smash Brothers competitively, so I've been to Florida, and I've gone to Boston 3 times. I've lived near Boston, so but I've been to those major tournaments before. And this was just like that super, super fun games that sure. you can play games everywhere, get artists to sign your cards.
It seems like a distant memory.
Oh my God. It was so much fun, right? So you go to a Command Fest, right? Whenever the pandemic is over, you're going to go to a Command Fest. You sit down, you want to play with some new people, see some sweet new decks. You take out your favorite deck, open it up, you slam down your Vraska. Person across from you goes, no, you can't do that. Your planeswalkers can't be commanders. Sorry.
Ooh, feels bad.
Feels super bad, right? Like,
they're not wrong.
They're not wrong. And this is my problem, right? We're in this weird purgatory where a lot of people want to play with planeswalkers as commanders. The majority of them do not break the game, but they're not legal because, just rule zero. But rule zero doesn't save you, right? So now this person in the story has spent their money. And money is important to a lot of people, but Magic is a hobby for them and they want to have fun and they had a lot of fun with this deck. That money can now be virtually worthless, that money that they spent on that deck, right? Do I think this happens often? No. But I also think it doesn't happen as often because people are afraid of it happening. I love Planeswalkers. Planeswalkers are my literal favorite card in Magic besides creatures. I love Planeswalkers. They're so cool. Ajani's my favorite. I have an Ajani figure on my bookcase behind me. I love Ajani.
Yep, I see it. Yeah. It is there.
I love Ajani.
I have the Funko version.
Ah, yeah. But I've never built an Ajani Planeswalker as a commander deck because I don't want this to happen to me. I don't want to be that person that spends money, tricks it out to optimize for the commander or whatever, and has this happen to me. And this can also be said for some uncommanders. Now, I say some specifically because I think just like planeswalkers, like we might have to look at certain planeswalkers to be banned as commander, which is another thing I think that we'll get to when we get to the solutions that banned as commander might want to come back. And Jake may disagree with me on that, but I think that is a really important step for a lot of this. There are uncommanders that would also fall into this category. Baron Von Count and Pippa, Duchess of Dice, are two that I kind of brought up. They bring a really unique mechanical and like play style that we don't see, like rolling a die. In Magic, it's weird. You use die all the time, but when do you ever roll a die for reasons other than a coin flip?
Just wait for the D&D set. I'm telling you, my prediction.
I know.
Call back to a few episodes back. Just saying.
I 100% agree with you on that. But right now, that's not an integral part of Magic.
Other than that, it's weird. We have more coin flip cards, I think, than actual rolling dice.
Yeah, exactly. And then Baron Von Count has an interesting thing where it plays with the text box and the art and the casting cost. And it's unique. And it's way too weird for a standard set. I get that. Or a black bordered set. But there's no reason why you couldn't make a Baron Von Count deck. It would be a really interesting deck to make. And I've seen this deck be played before and it's really cool. So I think that for some of these,
even on an episode of Game Nights, and it's not like it did degenerate stuff there. It was good fun.
Exactly. And I think that for some of these uncommanders and for a lot of the planeswalkers, this is why Rule Zero is holding us back as a format.
Yeah. I definitely agree when the Rule Zero, again, like you said, it comes back to the, if you want to do Baron Von Count, why don't you just rule zero it? And that maybe works for that, again, for that pod, for that group of people, for that person that you're playing against. But that doesn't mean that universally it will be accepted. Kind of like you said, I play a lot over Discord right now, and I would hate if I built this deck and not even just money, time.
Mm-hmm.
But the time that I put all this thought and this love and the care into this deck. And then I'm like, I want to pull out my blah, blah, blah deck or, my Ralzeric Planeswalker deck. And they're like, planeswalkers can't be commanders. I don't want to play against that. And then they're not wrong technically. So how am I to convince them otherwise if they're already like, I'm not about that. So you're right. That crutch of, we'll just rule zero it doesn't address the issue that planeswalkers or uncards should be allowed as commander. If that's, if that's your stance.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I would agree with too.
Right.
Most of them.
Exactly.
Stipulations.
Of course. Just like with anything, there'd be stipulations. And we'll talk about that when we get to solutions.
Sure. And I will say the one thing about the unset that my one teeny little issue, and it's probably not worth not making them commanders. I just, maybe other people feel this way. Maybe I'm just a weirdo. Is sometimes they do, for me, break the fantasy immersion.
Yeah. Like the Walking Dead cards.
Right. And I like personally, I like the fantasy. I'm playing like an Alrun deck right now, and it's super fun because I just feel like this Viking warrior casting these spells and you know, calling to the Allfather to do this stuff. And I dig that. And now if he's going and chopping, you know, Baron Von Count up with stuff, it feels kind of funny. Not that there aren't flavor breaks anyways. I mean, you can have a bunch of, you know, birds, like, you know, what's the old, like the antidote is like, you know, who would win like Emrakul or like 12 birds,
13
you know,
squirrels
or 12, there are 13 squirrels, whatever. So, I mean, not that this stuff doesn't happen. There's just something about when I see a silver bordered card, it kind of breaks the immersion for me, which isn't always a bad thing. That's definitely not a reason to not allow them as commander.
No, I definitely understand that argument because like, I hadn't even thought about that, especially with the Walking Dead Secret Lair being something that's come out recently. Like,
those ones are now kind of, I think, egregiously break the barrier. Guns and magic.
Weirdly enough, as an aside, I don't know if you've seen the leak of the Innistrad set boxes. There might be guns and magic sooner.
Not more. They're going to double down on guns.
There might be flintlocks, and we're not 100% sure. It might have been a hand crossbow, but like it looked like it might have been like a flintlock pistol. But anyway, besides the point. So the thing I understand that because I saw someone tweet the other day, said something along the lines of, I don't want a future in which I sit down at a pod and go, yeah, here's my, I don't know, my rune deck. And they go, oh, sweet. I'm playing my Sonic the Hedgehog versus his Ronald McDonald versus his, you know, what's his Rick from Walking Dead. Like, yeah. I understand that. I do understand that.
In my GoDaddy.com sponsored sleeves.
And like, I would argue at least that with the uncards, they are at least relatively magic flavored. Like,
sure.
They're still
fantasy.
Well,
Baron Von Count is a very fantastical character.
Yes.
Pippa, you know, again, she's a queen. And then though everything is dice, you know, it's still very much in that realm of fantasy role playing.
And I think,
you know.
I think that I would honestly say that is the reason why we haven't had a sci-fi set. It is probably the two most prolific types of fiction out there are fantasy and science fiction.
Yeah.
And we've never had a sci-fi set. The closest we get is like, is it on Ravnica?
The mad scientist, but even that still has very,
it's magic, like, not science almost.
Yeah. Well, it's like almost like that, it's kind of steampunky.
Yes.
A lot
of
times, you know, I feel like how they kind of skirt some of those sci-fi tropes. And
right.
You're like, oh, well, it runs on, we have electricity. Electricity exists in steam. Cool.
And, yeah, exactly.
But we can't have, you know, laser guns.
Right. And I do think that's why we haven't seen something like that. Now, granted, I would be totally down for a sci-fi set, but that's me personally.
If you do that, then I get a Western set.
Oh, dude, if you think I wouldn't be first in line for a Western set, you are out of your mind.
Oh, goodness gracious. Just rule zero it, man. When the next unset will be wild, wild, it'll be unwild or
Uncharted
something. Uncharted West, exactly. And we'll just rule zero all the cards.
So this is what I'm getting at, right? Like, it's like, why can't these cards be legal, right? It's like, would these commanders break the game? Now, some of them, yes, that is true. But here's my thing. Would like Bant Tamio, right? I forget what her epithet is. But she's one of the most common ones that are brought up immediately when we start talking about planeswalkers as commanders. Like, what would you do? You just play doubling season on four mana, and then the next time you play Tamio and she ults on turn one, and then you have omniscience. And I go, okay, I don't. Okay, you have a turn cycle to destroy the doubling season. We have two card combos in Magic right now.
Right. Like, that's, how is that any different? Oh,
we unbanned Protean Hulk.
Right. And it's like, you can still do that, you know, in Commander. It's just, I guess the idea, and I'll play a little bit of the opposite side is, you know, because you can do that in a normal game of Magic, is play Tamio, stuff like that. Now you have 99 cards to get through to make sure that you get that. Having a combo piece, I mean, we hear this a lot. Oh, it's just a combo piece in your command zone, you know, and that's a lot of people consider that a lot of times when they talk about what should and shouldn't be banned and what should be allowed and stuff like that. Again, that's another perspective. Do I think that Tamio specifically is that much of a problem? No.
Right.
But I would say that's the big argument for stuff like that.
Yeah, and I agree. I would rather combo tools like that not be in the command zone.
But we also have legendary creatures that are combos on a stick.
Literally.
You know, do we ban everything that's combo potential? Well, no. You know, again, where I think Rule Zero should come into play with that is say, hey, like, are you playing a version of your Tamio deck where you're trying to do this one specific thing and win on game on turn four. Because for me, that doesn't scream much fun. I want to play a little bit of a more mid-tier game, a longer game. You know, that's when Rule Zero should be used.
Not perfect example.
Should you be allowed to build this deck?
Perfect example, right? Me and Jake actually have one commander deck where we have the same commander, right? We both have a Yuriko deck. Do you play Doomsday in your Yuriko deck?
So I actually have two versions of the deck. I have a proxied version and a non-proxied version. In the proxy version, yes, I do, because I do like to, you know, when I play in competitive pods, I like to play Doomsday and win the game as soon as possible. When I want to power it down but still want to get a bunch of ninjas out, I pull off the Doomsday that I printed out, and it's now a, you know, like the little Slither Blade or something, you know?
Yeah, literally, like, it's like, what's the big one that everyone will say? Like, oh, like, you slam down a six-mana Narset, right? Like, you, like, oh, here's the commander deck I'm playing. You put down the six-mana Narset from Khan's Attack here. Everyone goes, whoa, 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 and you go, I'm not playing.
And you put the boots on it. And
I'm not playing extra turns. That's all you have to say, and everyone goes, oh, okay, we're cool. We're cool. Yeah. Like, it's not that hard a concept. You slam down a Tamiyo commander deck and you go, I'm not playing Doubling Season. Or, are you playing Doubling Season? Yeah. Well, okay, you're going to die then. Like, that's their decision.
Right. Or that decision where it's like, okay, yeah, I don't mind you playing Yuriko Doomsday, but hey, look at the rest of the table. We're going to try to kill you first. Like, just to understand that's cool, you know? And so going to my playgroup, Elder Dragon Skyblender, we had a situation like that where my friend was playing a deck that I didn't really view as fun. It was Sisse Shrines. And it's not that Shrines was so broken and stuff like that. I really just disliked that he had put in so many tutors that he was just getting so much incremental value on his upkeep for what I saw as free. And in my mind, that wasn't very fun. Now, we talked about it eventually, and I came to the realization that it was a little unwarranted that I hated, quote unquote, hated this deck so much. But we also had to have the conversation because what he found was he was being targeted every game. You know, because he would get these shrines out and just get free stuff on upkeep, and he would find that the table started to target him, and then he wasn't having fun because he was getting targeted. So we had to have that conversation of, okay, well, what are the changes you could make to this deck to where we don't see it as so much of a threat that we have to target you, or do you just want to keep it the same and just be okay that you are now the target? And it's, right. You know, we eventually kind of came to this middle of the ground that, you know, okay, maybe it isn't fun that we just target Andrew when he plays his Sisse deck, so that's on us. But also, maybe he could make a few changes to where it wasn't just insane value engine from the get-go.
And that is the beauty of Rule Zero. That part of it is the beauty of Rule Zero, not impeding the changes to the rules that a lot of members of the community... I know I'm not alone in thinking that, like, and I'll personal stake it right now... I want Planeswalkers legal as commanders. I think that there should be some of the uncommanders should be legal as commanders. I don't think I'm alone in that regard. And I know that there's a lot of the most famous content creators and luminaries out there for commander that don't agree with me for their reasons. But I also think a lot of their reasons are kind of stinky. I don't particularly care for their reasons, honestly. Some of them are like, it's virtual life gain, or they, you know, they slow down the game. Commander games already take so long, and that's, I don't think you should shouldn't like legalize something that a vast majority, or I shouldn't say majority, a large amount of the community has a want to like legalize because it might slow the game down more. But it doesn't really slow the game down. It's like, yeah, people have to attack the commanders to kill them. No, you don't. There's other things you can do. You can Oblivion Ring them, or Banishing Light them, or, you know, bounce it back to their hand. You can use other, there's a lot of Planeswalker removal based cards now.
I was just about to say, and as the game has progressed and Planeswalkers have lived in the game of Magic, we now have specific cards that deal with Planeswalkers, or deal with, you know, destroy target creature or Planeswalker, deals damage to creature or Planeswalker. And so it's not that the answers aren't being printed, and only, if anything, only more and more are going to get printed.
Yeah, and the thing is that usually when they make these reasons, and I'm going to kind of mix up our order of talking here because it's a good segue, they'll say that, like, you know, Planeswalkers are like pseudo life gain because they attack the Planeswalker instead of you. But we've never had a mass trial of real Planeswalkers as commanders. We've had, you know, the ones that are legal as commanders that are printed with this may be used as your commander, which is another argument I've heard, which is really... Yeah. Oh my God, that one infuriates me. Well, they've made Planeswalkers that have it printed on there, so they can't make... No, that's dumb. Stop. please. Yeah. We've never had a mass trial, right? Uncards got a small amount of time over a billion. I don't actually know. Were you playing during this time when they did this?
I don't think so.
So in December of 2017 into January.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. So December 1st to 2017, I think this is with the release of Unhinged, whatever, or Unstable, whatever the most recent unset is.
Oh, wait, yes. I had just started playing. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing about this. It did not affect me whatsoever because I just wasn't playing Silver Bordered. But yeah.
So that's the other thing, right? So they gave you a month and a half where you could, in theory, play Silver Bordered cards with some exceptions in Commander. But it was over Christmas break, right? Everyone's busy mm-hmm. with family. You're not getting that much time to play Commander. People that were at college are now home, not playing with their college play groups and all that stuff, right? That's a huge part of the Commander population and Magic's population is college students.
Yeah.
So
I would imagine you'd miss the opportunity to get a actual test to exactly. see how it really, really went because just not many games were being played.
Here's the other thing. The set wasn't, you know, printed to death. So it's not like they're a little bit more available because more packs have been opened, but the set had just come out. And it was like really last minute that they announced this, so no one could prepare. So it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to spend a couple $100 to build a deck that won't be legal in a month and a half. Like that's not... I don't know. It's just not a good, it's not a good.
Like we said, money, time, care, it's all invested in these decks. And when you give people a month to test it out, that's not enough. To me, that doesn't scream, oh, well, that's enough time for me to throw my heart into something.
It almost felt like that might
just go away. Yeah.
It feels like a cop out.
Here's a bone.
We gave you a little bit of time to test it. We didn't hear anything crazy. We don't think anyone really built them. So there's no interest. So it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? We didn't give you enough time and we didn't make the right scenario. So no one tried it out. So we don't want to legalize it. I'm not saying that's what it is, but that's what it feels like to some players. Right. And we've never had a mass trial of Planeswalkers as commanders, which we'll kind of get to in a second with the solutions part.
Right. I remember at some point in the internet last year, there was a big talk about just unban all of them and we'll just go from there, man. And we'll just, you know, and then we'll just ban the ones that are problems. Like, heck, just open it up. For Planeswalkers, and there was a lot of traction, at least by what I could tell, for that. That again, the format will correct itself. That people will figure it out. That again, those conversations of what Rule Zero truly is will happen, and that if we see a problem in the command zone before the game starts, it will be addressed.
Yeah, and the other thing is we've seen Wizards now. And I guess this is like kind of like a. I don't know what the word I want to use is, but we've seen Wizards respond to problems in Commander now. So let's give them a problem in Commander. If Planeswalkers are broken, then let's give them that problem. Make them print more Planeswalker removal or removal that can work for Planeswalkers in Commander. I don't see the problem in that.
Yeah, no, I think if we were, let's just say, to unban the Commanders, you know, the Planeswalker, like just every Planeswalker right now, we'd see very, very minimal ones, and we could probably pre-ban those, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I know there's like a Tezzeret that people want banned, that they don't want to see him ever. I don't remember which one it is. I don't think it's the Biobox promo one from War of the Spark or whatever.
Good,
it was.
I love that one.
That one's cool. I have that card. It has really nice art. Tamiyo obviously is one of the worst defenders by far. People don't want to see that card anywhere near the command zone, and I get that. This also, and we're going to shift away from the Planeswalkers part because I'm going to get stuck on that personal vendetta.
Sure.
I want to switch away a little bit. But for the other way, we're now talking about cards that are not legal because of this crutch of Rule Zero. But I also want to talk about cards that are still legal because people just have fallen into a Rule Zero crutch. There's three cards in particular that I would assume there are a lot of playgroups out there that have these three cards banned that are not on the Commander ban list. I've specifically left them off of the notes so that I can have Jake guess them because I guarantee he can get two of the three without even trying. So
I don't know. You actually wrote answers.
You did get two of the three.
Did I get two out of three? Okay, cool. So the ones I wrote are Psych Rift, Mana Crypt, which Mana Crypt's the one that I'm a little about. Mm-hmm. That I don't know about that. But I'm fairly certain Psych Rift's on the list, and I'm fairly certain Armageddon's on the list.
So Armageddon was actually not the one I was thinking of. That would be my bonus point one. But I will give you full credit because the answer that I was looking for was Cyclonic Rift, Sol Ring, and Mana Crypt.
You would be
surprised at how many people have Sol Ring banned in their playgroups because it's very strong, and it's a very strong card. Yeah. But we've seen, and we'll put a I'll try to find it. There's an episode of the fantastic podcast. If you're listening to this, you must listen to that. This is the Command Zone. They talk mm-hmm. about the statistics of what an early Sol Ring does, and yes, it is very strong, but the table corrects itself. It fixes, and you are now the target because you've ramped.
As I found in our Elder Dragon Skyblander streams, you know, we always kind of joke like, oh, got that turn one Sol Ring, guess I'm going to lose. And we pretty much make that happen, you know.
Yes.
We're like, yes, you will. In fact, I swing at you on turn two for 10 and, you know, whatever. The other thing that I hear all the time with the Sol Ring and reason why people will quote unquote house ban it, rule zero it away, will be, well, it's just, it doesn't breed creative deck building. It's an auto include. And, you know, there's people who don't like that. And to me, that's the weaker of the arguments, mm-hmm. Because, yeah, you know, I mean, same thing with Psychrift. You know, again, it's a powerful card, and I could see why people would want that, you know, banned because of its power and stuff like that. I don't necessarily fall on the, oh, well, it should be banned, or we shouldn't play it because it's just an auto-include on your blue decks. There's plenty of blue decks where I do not play Psychrift.
Yeah, I would, I feel like it's, I'd be remiss to not at least mention my opinion on some of these cards while we're talking about it, even though this isn't about whether or not we think these should be banned. So I'll just very quickly, would not be upset if Cyclonic Rift got banned, but also don't care if it doesn't. I do think that it is arguably the best card in Commander. And I think that it would be interesting. It would be better to have diversity if it was out. Like, I know that's what a lot of people have said. Like, if we didn't have Cyclonic Rift, like 7 or 8 more blue board wipes would actually see play because they might be better in different decks. But right now, Cyclonic Rift is just the best blue card in almost every scenario that you would want a card like that.
Sure.
Mana Crypt 5 years ago should be banned. It wasn't available. It was way too expensive, and it is way too strong. Now, it is as available as some other broken cards that aren't banned. So whatever, keep it.
And wait until my episode about proxies.
Oh, that's a good idea. Sol Ring, same thing as Mana Crypt, except it's available.
Available, especially now with all the new commander support. We were talking about product. I remember I used to buy them, or I used to not buy them because they were like $7-$8. Yep. And I was like, oh geez, like I already have 4 of them. I guess I'll just switch them out and stuff like that, or proxy them. Like $250 now.
Yeah, exactly. Sol Rings are printed to death. And then you've actually mentioned Armageddon, which I don't think I'd want to see that one banned, but I do think that there should be at some point down the line a reevaluation of the social construct where mass land destruction is okay if you're going to win off of it. Mass land destruction,
yes,
that's going to make the game go for 3 hours is not okay.
And you know what? To be honest, that's where I feel actually how that feeds into a lot of my philosophy when it comes to Psych Rift. Mm-hmm. If you're Psych Rifting and it just sets the game back and nothing's happening, I'm a little upset about it. But if you're going to Psych Rift, swing in and win the next turn, you know what? Go for it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times there's 3 ways you end up using Cyclonic Rift. You use Cyclonic Rift to save your life, to win the game, or to put you in a position to win the game, but that third one can sometimes take a really long time.
Yeah.
Because you've now slowed down the game for everybody else.
Yeah. I don't know. That goes into philosophy about like just the game in general. There have been times where I have literally had a way to not die in a game, and I don't mention it, and I just take the lethal because of a game has gone so long that it's beyond it's a philosophy thing, but you know, we can digress from there. That's my personal zero of fun.
The reason that I brought this up is because one, I wanted to show the mirror side of these cards maybe should be legal, and show you that these cards maybe shouldn't be legal. But we don't get a discussion on Mana Crypt, Sol Ring, and Cyclonic Rift because the people that think it shouldn't be legal, they just rule zero it, and that's good. In the meantime, that's good. That's what should be done. But the issue is, for me, is it's becoming this force of inaction. Now, Commander is in a great spot. I think Commander is in a fantastic spot. I don't have many problems at all with the format, where it is in a vacuum. My issue is the stuff that's outside of the format. Like I said, like I'd like to see Planeswalkers be allowed to kind of break up some diversity and shake up how the games work. I wouldn't mind looking around a table and seeing like, oh, he's playing Tybar Kell. You know, like Tybar Kell's super cool. That's where I don't, this inaction. And you have a point here that I want to let you get to as well about banning cards and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, like you said, you talked about the inaction. Because so many people are rule zeroing, it might make the CAG or the CRC feel like they don't need to make a ruling, right? Because they're like, oh, well, so many people are already, you know, we don't need to have that discussion on should Armageddon, should mm-hmm. Solring be banned, because everyone's already doing what works best for them. And in a way, I think that is kind of a good thing, because should these committees be banning so many cards? Should there be this oversight, this heavy policing of the format, when, like you said, it is a social format? It's meant to be. I mean, it was conceived by people for people, and it kind of looked, you know, warts and all, how it did differently at different tables until it kind of got under this. Now, of course, there are advantages to getting wizard support. Like we said, there's lots of support. They're paying attention to it. They're printing cards for it, which, again, I think that's a big disagreement that me and you have.
Oh, I think we would later. Too.
But, you know, there's the support for it, which brings a lot of goodness to it, including a lot more people playing it. And if we overdo that with forcing the Commander's Rules Committee and the advisory group to make decisions on stuff that we're already doing ourselves, is that going to lead to a bad thing? Or is it just going to lead to them making decisions that we ignore anyways because of, quote, unquote, rule zero?
Yeah, I think, and that is where I think that there is a difference in this discussion of making the Planeswalkers and Uncards legal versus these three or four cards we talked about illegal, in that a lot of Commander players, and this one I feel fairly safe in saying the majority of Commander players are for fewer bans. We don't want cards banned. We want cards banned that destroy the format. Now,
well, that's the thing about Commander, is it's the place where you can play, in an ideal world, anything. You know, anything is viable. Any card from your, you know, penny draft chaff to your, to your mana crypts, to your stuff like that.
Exactly.
You can play anything and make it work, because this deck, this format is built on creativity and making it work.
Right, exactly. So I think that's actually that's a good segue into going into the solutions part that I've written out. So I do have these issues, and I don't want to just shout into the void. I don't want to not even provide at least some thoughts on some possible solutions.
Sure.
So the things that I've come up with as I've thought about this, because I've thought about this topic for a while. I think that when there's a community push for a certain rule change, and we can see that there is a large part of the community, because again, if I had to guess, right, if you told me that you could magically pull 100% of the dedicated Commander players, I'm not talking about people that go play every week, but people that have a stake in the state of Modern, or sorry, the state of Commander.
Yeah. Enfranchised players.
Yes. That's a fantastic word. Enfranchised players in Commander. If you could magically poll all of them, right, and you ask them this question, do you think that Planeswalkers should be legal as commanders with some being banned? I would say you have like 30 to 40% saying yes, 30 to 40% saying I don't care, and then the rest saying vehemently no. But I think because of that portion that says I don't care, that's why we're stuck at this inaction, because that care people are the same people that would allow you to rule zero a Planeswalker as a commander. Not saying that the people that don't think they should be legal wouldn't, but at the same time, if they're willing to let you rule zero certain Planeswalkers as commanders, then you should be able to play those Planeswalkers as commanders, right? So,
Because we're looking at, technically, there is a majority at that breakdown of, I'm okay with commanders being, even though only half of that 60% feels like it should just be like your right to play a Planeswalker as a commander. The 30% that don't care will allow it. So why don't we just allow it?
Exactly. And so my solution is something, and this works for the uncards as well, and maybe even the banned cards, maybe less so that because it's hard to, or the cards that people think should be banned. It's something that they've already done. It's a trial period, right? But we have to execute it better. So you would allow Planeswalkers as commanders at certain command fests, at a certain time period, right? So you say from like January to October, and at any command fests, we're going to hand out surveys to the people that play in the command zone, and we want to hear what they have to say. Those are your enfranchised players. Those players that are playing commander at command fests, those are your real enfranchised players.
They're about that life.
They should have a voice, right? I think that there is a lack of advocacy in the CAG specifically, because I think that a lot of those people, when they were brought in, and don't get me wrong, again, I think they're doing what they think is best for the format. I think a lot of those players already had their opinions on Planeswalkers as commanders before they got into that position. and they're not maybe listening to the community. I don't know. Maybe they have some way of metrics that I don't have that they can hear this, but I feel like the few times that this conversation has arisen and similar subjects, it gets brushed off because it would be too much of an undertaking. You know, we'd have to maybe reinstitute Band as Commander, which I think should be a thing because there are cards that you shouldn't be able to play as Commander that are fine in the 99, and it's not that confusing to
like
have
Loot Tree.
There's not that many. It's not that confusing to have Band and Band as Commander. If you can understand Commander as a format, you can understand the differences in those two
right.
band lists.
I'm thinking about the companion mechanic and how it's written on every card one way, and we all just know how to play it correctly now. What's so hard about just realizing when you get into this format that there are just some cards that, yes, it looks like it could be your commander, it just can't be. Sorry. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, we understand the companion mechanic. It's been completely eroded from the way that all those cards have been printed. Yet it's universally accepted that, okay, it can be in the companion zone and you have to pay 3 to get it into your hand and then you can cast it from there. Like, we just all accept that. Why couldn't we just accept that these handful of cards are banned as commanders?
Exactly.
Put it on Scryfall.
Oh, beautiful. And here's a word that I want, and this has actually been my consistent criticism of the CAG and the CRC, and it's transparency. I want to know what the CAG and the CRC are talking about. I feel like we have a right to know that there's at least, I don't know that they've even muttered the sentence Planeswalkers as commanders. They'll say it, they've talked about it, but I don't know what they've talked about. I don't know that it's been in depth. I feel like there should be some transparency that's made public about this, because I really, I don't know. It feels like, again, like I feel like my voice as a player is not being heard, and because I've seen a lot of people that have agreed with me on these topics and it never gets anywhere.
So I think what you're advocating for is we actually open up another group, and it's going to be the Commander Senate, where each person in a region gets to vote for a representative. Because I know I'm kind of joking, and like your eyes are getting wide because you're like, it actually sounds like a good idea.
I actually suggested something along this lines for Smash Brothers before.
Right. Well, it's not a bad idea.
When we were talking about rule sets, we were talking about rule sets specifically in Smash for stages and everything like that. And I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea at all. The logistics of it maybe have to be looked into, especially because how are people going to vote online, stuff like that. But we can.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something, and it might come off a little wrong. So many of the CAG are from the same playgroup.
Yeah.
Jimmy, Josh, Olivia Gobert Hicks, Baytog, right? They're all in a relatively similar playgroup. They have their own experiences. Their experiences are different than yours and mine. So I guess that's what it is. I don't feel represented by this CAG sometimes.
Right. No, I get that they're doing what they think is best. But again, are they going into this as what's the philosophy as a CAG member? Is it the philosophy, I have been selected for this position, so I am to go with what I think is best, or I've been selected for this position, I need to be a voice for the community and what they think is best? I would say someone that embodies that I should represent other people's voices the best that I've seen is Shivam.
Yes, I was going to say, Shivam, we need to give a special shout out to Shivam.
Yes, has been constantly transparent about things, has asked their community for their input, and I feel I don't know Shivam, someone that I would love to meet and just probably have tea with and play Commander with, you know, sometime. I just feel they're so true, and they view their position as, I need to do what's good for the community, not necessarily what I think is correct. I've seen that in their tweets about admitting when they're wrong or admitting when they get new information. Yeah, exactly. And they crowdsource so often. So I think if we had more representatives like that on the Commander Advisory Group, that we'd feel a little bit more represented and feel a little bit better. Or like you said, or like I guess, vote, like have actual representatives that were chosen by people to go into there. Because again, you have the rules committee and the CAG, and they're kind of in that same group of people, you know.
What if we even voted on issues, or the CAG voted on issues, right? So like they release some major poll. They say, what issues do you want us to vote on at the next CRC and CAG meeting, right? Sure. So we'll have like Planeswalkers as commanders. So at least we could see, like, what if the CAG votes, like, I don't know. I don't know how many. Let's say there's 13 members of the CAG. What if they vote 7-6 in favor of keeping Planeswalkers illegal? I'm okay with that because I've now seen that there are people that agree with me, but it wasn't the majority. So I'll keep doing my work to advocate, to campaign to get Planeswalkers legal as commanders.
And I was going to say, what if then at the next meeting, it's almost like a bill, you know, it comes back or a new version of it comes back and they're able to revote. And with the new information, because again, like we said, there are commander removal spells being printed. What if in a year we see enough of that that the CAG says, you know what, commanders aren't really a problem, because just like you run targeted removal for people's commanders, we can just run commander removal as well, you know, or those cards are the same. There's enough cards that are commander, you know,
right.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine just commander removal spells? It's scary, but you know, your eyes widen.
Pre War of the Spark commander was a different environment for commanders as planeswalkers than after War of the Spark. There are a ton more. They're not as strong, but they're also would have been really good commanders. And we've also seen a lot more removal get printed that would work.
Well, that's why a new format, Oathbreaker, came out. You know, and do you not like Oathbreaker, or
Oathbreaker is just a symptom of this problem, though?
That's what it is. So you agree that Oathbreaker is good, but it was people reacting to
they wanted to play Planeswalkers as commanders.
They wanted to play Planeswalkers
and Brawl stinks.
Yes,
because it's standard.
Yeah, exactly. It's standard with extra steps, you know, which to me, Brawl takes out the fun part of standard, which is the consistency of, you know.
And it takes out the fun part of commander, which is non-rotation.
Abolish Brawl, us representative stuff.
We gotta be done, because we've talked. So we've ranted and raved about Rule Zero.
This train, man, is going off the rails.
We've ranted and raved about Rule Zero. This is our second podcast back to back as well, by the way. We've recorded two tonight, so we're definitely a little bit drained. I had a long day. So let's at least finish on a positive note. So let's talk about some of the good things about Rule Zero, and then we'll cap off with a lot of things. So what is one good thing about Rule Zero to you, Jake?
Well, I think we could both agree on this one, that there's thematic reasons that give satisfaction to players, you know, that Rule Zero can help with. So, for example, I haven't done this yet, but I've always wanted to build a Ral Zarek and Tomic deck, because as we know in the canon, they're, you know, dating and whatnot. And one, I already love Ral Zarek as much as possible, as humanly possible. And I'd love to have a Ral deck in general. But I love this idea of like a lover's deck. And this just totally breaks all the quote unquote rules, because that both these cards don't have partner on them. Ral's a planeswalker. You know, there's no creature form of Ral that I could even be like, oh, well, I'll just play them as partners.
Yeah.
But it would just make my heart so happy. And I know if I told my playing group, you know, these cards, I'm thinking of Ral, Storm Conduit and Tomic, you know, both that came from the War of the Spark set. Together, they're not going to break anything, and so my playgroup would be good with that, and they know that would bring me a certain level of happiness, especially because of Rao being kind of my LGBTQ plus representative force in there. They would know that would mean a lot to me, and I think they would allow that.
Yeah, and I know the ones that I hear a lot, when especially now with Commander Legends coming out, you get Hans Eriksson and Safi Eric's daughter.
Oh yeah,
like they're siblings.
Oh yeah, I allow that.
100%.
That lives rent-free in my mind.
And then the other one that I found out about recently that I thought was kind of cool was Brothers Yamazaki, which is a legendary creature card from one of the Kamigawa sets. It's not a good card, but it has a thematic reason on it for getting two of the same card. So it says, if there are exactly two permanents named Brothers Yamazaki in play, and that's actually probably eroded now to say, like, if you control two or something like that, the legend rule doesn't apply to them, and each other creature named Brothers Yamazaki gets +2/+2 and has haste. It's not good. It's not strong.
Yeah.
But it's cool and it's unique. So I would allow someone to play two copies of Brothers Yamazaki as their partners, because that's interesting.
For sure.
I really like that. And then another thing, and that kind of gets into it on the flip side of like widening what you can build as a commander, is you can also institute like weird deck constraints with Rule Zero.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things that I've seen this really well with is one of my first and earliest exposures to Commander, which was Star City Games Commander Versus. Where they would do episodes like, let's all build legendary artifacts as commanders. So I think there's like a godsend deck. It was crazy, right? And then you also like signature spells, which was an idea.
I'm going to build a soul ring deck. Oh, wait, it's not legendary. Never mind.
legendary, signature spells was something that someone done that they hit in Oathbreaker, right? Like, so like that's something that someone, you have a spell that is like your command, in your command zone that you can only cast when you have your commander out. Like,
yeah, my play group has done that so many times, where we'll do things like, okay, everyone has to play a monocolor deck, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess this does technically go into its own format, but I've been exposed recently to Pauper EDH. While that's not, I don't know if it's recognized in Scryfall and whatnot, but for that one, you can do, what's it called? You can do any uncommon creature, legendary or not, as your commander. And so Livy built one because it was popular in our Discord, and hers was Mayhem Devil. And I was like, oh my gosh, that would be such a cool commander. You know, anytime someone sacrifices something, you get to ping. I was like, that's something that I, you know, you normally wouldn't get to see.
Or the other thing I would say is, like, it kind of in that same stance is there's a lot of creatures out there that people wish were legendary and maybe should have been legendary. Chromanticore is my biggest one. I think Chromanticore should have been legendary. Card's super cool. And I would have loved, before we got, you know, the sick god tribal cards from Kaldheim, if I wanted to make an all gods deck, Chromanticore probably would have been my go-to for it because that card's just cool. Was it Maelstrom Angel is another one. Because that's the five-colored angel commander that people really wanted. So I don't know. I Rule Zero is amazing, and it does allow the format to have a lot of ways to grow. And those are the ways that I'd love to see Rule Zero used.
Right.
And like we said,
it's a philosophy. It's a conversation that you have, and when it's not being used as a crutch to warp the game, and even just working with the cards that you have, just saying, "Hey, look, this is the experience that I'm trying to have tonight." What does that experience look like for y'all? And then coming to an agreement with the other players at the table. That's to me, that's the beauty.
And that kind of fits into the last reason that we have here, is balance and house rules and the social construct. So we talked about people like not wanting to allow Sol Ring or Mana Crypt or something like that. A lot of people will say no mass land destruction, which is already kind of hidden in the social contract that we have.
Yeah.
Another one that I saw recently was, and this is weird, it was in a thread where someone said, what would be your, like, if you had omnipotent power over EDH, what would you change? And this guy said, no functional reprints allowed ever. So, like, you couldn't play Nature's Lore and Three Visits in the same deck.
Ooh.
The only thing different about those two cards is the name. And there are other cards that are like that. Lana Werewolves and Elvish Mystic is a similar one, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah, again, not for me, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's what Rule Zero is all about. If they want to do that because they really want to adhere to that spirit of every card in your deck needs to do its own thing,
right,
all the more power to you. But
quick thing for you, what about Rule Zero for yourself? You know what I mean? Like, what if you're okay with doing that and you don't necessarily enforce that on your other people?
Yeah.
Playgroup, you know, just say, like, I want to play with no functional reprints because that brings me joy, but maybe don't expect that from everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And the table will always correct itself if there is a problem. I think that's also a huge part of it.
Yeah, I've definitely played underpowered decks that can hold their own in a more high-powered setting because I wasn't the threat at the time, you know, and the table corrected itself and it went from there. So I think looking at kind of just the big gist of all this is that Rule Zero itself as an idea is a great thing and an essential part of Commander.
Yes.
What it has kind of become is
there's one way in which it is being used right now that I think you and I would both disagree with. It's like one aspect of it in the way of its use, right? The way that it's being used as a, we don't need to talk about these big rules changes because of Rule Zero. That is the thing that I think you and I would agree that we both disagree with.
Yeah, that we think that's the issue that's at hand. And until we address that issue,
it's like the skeleton in the closet.
We can't address the other ones. Yeah, exactly.
It's the skeleton in the closet. Yeah, exactly.
I agree. But at the core of it, I think it's a good thing. What I've always found is that people who play Commander are usually accepting and kind of, because it's such a diverse format, not only from the card selection, but from the people that it attracts. Yep. I mean, the game and Magic in general attracts so many different people from so many different backgrounds. And so finding people who are accommodating and stuff like that, that's where Rule Zero really gets to shine. I think it's really, like we said, just beautiful.
You'll have people that will, you know, play Standard and discover Commander. Play Commander and discover Standard, or only play Commander, or only play Standard. But Commander is that intersection where, you know, some people say, "Yeah, if I want to win, I'm going to go play Standard or Modern or Legacy. But if I want to have fun, I'm going to go play Commander and vice versa, right?
Right. There's the antidote that all constructed players have a Commander deck. You know, if you play Modern, if you play Standard, if you play those competitive formats, you all of them have at least a Standard deck.
Right. Or a Commander deck.
A Commander deck.
Because if you're at an event and you're waiting in between rounds or you're done for the day, what are you going to do? Just go, I guess I'll just play more of the same deck I just played all day? No. You're going to want to go have some fun. Blow off some steam after a really stressful tournament.
Yeah, go cast 9/9 dinosaurs for 10 mana.
Exactly.
And that's where Commander, why I think we both agree, it's one of the most beloved formats that we have.
Right. Oh, that was a long talk on Rule Zero. But
yeah,
I think we
almost went to three different episodes.
We definitely got to some good parts, though. I got my thoughts out, and it was very therapeutic for me because this is definitely something that's been eating at me for a while about, again, one of my favorite things to do ever.
And I think there's other people out there who feel similarly. And so hopefully this episode has provided you with not only an affirmation that you're not the only person thinking this, but also some different viewpoints. You know,
right.
me and Taito, even though we have our beliefs and our views, we try to echo and highlight other viewpoints as well, just so that we, as a teacher, we know the more information, the more data we can collect, the more that we can be accurate.
Exactly. And speaking of collecting data from all of you, our lovely listeners, this is where the part where I'm going to tell you about this new segment that we started in our last episode. Again, we don't have any answers for you yet, but this is hashtag questions for the class. If you have any questions that you would like to ask myself or Jake about Magic, education, or the intersection of those two, please, you can either put it in the comments below this video on YouTube or tweet at us on Twitter, which is at MTG Ed Network, and leave the hashtag questions for the class. Or you can join our Discord, and in that Discord, we should have a channel there called Questions for the Class, where you can leave us our questions, and we'll pick a couple questions every episode to try to answer, for stuff that we don't think we could talk about a whole episode on. Like the example I gave last week was, what's your favorite lesson you've ever done, right? Like that's a question that we could both answer. Or like, what's your favorite card in Magic? Like, we're not going to do a whole episode on our favorite card in Magic, but it'd be kind of cool to have some viewer questions because we want to hear from you and we want to have some participation from you as well. You know, we don't grade you on participation, but we are used to that in our daily lives. So we want to make sure that we get everyone involved.
Of course, of course. And make sure that while you're tweeting out your questions and whatnot, you're checking out our social media, you're following us on that Twitter. What was the Twitter again?
Our Twitter is at MTG Ed Network. Our YouTube is MTG Educators Network. And I think that's it. Yeah, for those.
Yeah. And as always, make sure that you can find me and Taito. We do our own content here and there. You can find me at @casual_Jake_ on Twitter, Instagram, now on TikTok. Yeah, I'll talk about that later. I'll explain that to you. I don't have to explain myself, Taito. And I also stream on Twitch. I stream MTG Arena. I draft. I do Constructed, as well as I do EDH gameplay on that channel as well. And Taito, where can they find you on the interwebs?
They can find me at Taito, T-Y-T-O, Parliament, P-A-R-L-I-A-M-E-N-T on Twitter and Twitch. Don't stream any time. I don't have time to stream right now, but I want to. It's something I really, 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 really want to do more of. I can never get myself on a schedule. I'm very much a last second kind of person. So I do want to start. It's probably not going to happen until the summer that I can actually try to get into a rhythm for it. But
yeah,
you can definitely follow me there so that when I do start streaming, you get notified.
For sure, for sure. And of course, always thanks to our editor, Sean, aka Busted Sleeves. And yeah, I think we're about done for this one. So until next time, I'm Casual Jake.
And I'm Taito.
And remember, teachers make magic. We'll see you next time.
Bye.